Okay. Well, bless God. Besides the fact that the music was a bit, let's say, a bit loud and a bit noisy, did you enjoy the worship? Give the Lord a big hand, please. How many of you love God? How many of you need God? How many of you believe that God can do anything? How many of you believe that God is the healer? The redeemer? The deliverer? Our savior? Okay, I don't even have to preach to you, Oaks. You already know everything. But I'm going to preach to you anyway. Amen? Because I'm sure there's something God wants to teach you. All right. The book of Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 to 15 says the following. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. All right. Who of you have a past? Of course you have a past. Who of you have a bit of a dodgy past? Look, all the religious spirits are just checking me out like, oh, there's nothing wrong with my past. Yeah. Who of you have done things in your past that you're not proud of? Okay, Diane, I'm not talking about yesterday, okay? I'm talking about... I'm just joking, eh? Yeah, you're right. God does have mercy. Okay, so here's something that... Today, I want to talk to you about something. A lot of people are bound by their past. That's not from God. A lot of people stop going forward because of their past. That's not from God. And tonight I believe God wants to speak to you about that. The past is the past. Can you change the past? But you can change the future. By getting your mind, your heart, your spirit, and your soul out of the past. If there was ever anybody whose past could come back to haunt him, it was the very man that spoke to us about this. Now, I'm going to read to you again. The man speaking as the Apostle Paul. And there's a very good reason why he talks so strongly about the past. Because as far as pasts go, his past was dodgy to the maximum. He says, I don't believe that I have obtained all of this or that I have already been made perfect. Paul says very clearly, I'm not perfect. And then he says, but... regardless of where I come from, regardless of who I am right now, one thing I know in my heart God wants me to do. I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. He says, Jesus opened the door for many things to come into my life, and I will not let my past discount me from receiving what is mine. You know, many times we have people that have this attitude that, you know what, because of who I was, because of where I come from, because of what I did, because of what was did to me, my life is not going to go forward. That's rubbish. That will only happen if you allow it to happen. But Jesus has already made a way for you to receive everything you need to have a blessed future. I want you to quickly look your neighbor in the eye. Look your neighbor in the eye. Like this. Like. And then you say to them, your past will not define your future. Do you hear what we just said? Your past will not define your future. Where you are now and what you allow God to do with you now that God is in your life, that's going to take you forward. But the devil, one of his biggest tricks that he has used for thousands of years, and the reason he's used it for thousands of years is because it always works, because we fall for the same things over and over again, is he uses your past against you. Then he goes on and he says, brothers, I do not consider myself to have yet taken hold of it, but there's one thing I do. I forget what is behind You know, this is where we make the biggest mistake. We forget to feed the cat. We forget to vacuum the swimming pool. We forget to arm the car's alarm. We forget to buy milk. We should rather not forget any of those stuff. We should forget the past. Amen? If there is one area where the spirit of forgetfulness is allowed to touch you, it is in your past. Amen? It's in your past. He says, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. Where is his focus? His focus is there. Do you know what the problem is with many believers and why they never have a good life and why they go nowhere? Because their focus is there, somewhere behind them in things that happened. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards. The Apostle Paul is the one talking here. He has good reason to speak this way because I want to tell you something the devil reminded him of his past many, many times. He spent his whole life opposing Jesus Christ, even to the extent of orchestrating the massacre of those who followed Jesus Christ. Now you must understand something. Paul, in a time when he was zealous for God, but stupid because he didn't know the truth, believed that Jesus was a threat to God. And therefore, he persecuted the early Christian church and he created many martyrs for Christ. He had to live with this. Now I want to ask you a question. How do you live with that and go out and now preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in power? There's only one way. You have to forget what happened in the past and strain towards what is ahead. And have faith that God, through the blood of Christ, can forgive anything that you have ever done. Amen? How many of you have ever felt guilty? Just wave at me. Okay, so if you felt guilty, that means you've messed up, right? Okay. Is it a nice feeling? It's not a nice feeling. It's a horrible feeling. It's this thing that sits at the pit of your stomach. It's like a worm sitting there, and it eats and eats and eats and eats, and your whole life is not lekker. Okay. Can the devil make you feel guilty about what's going to happen tomorrow? Why not? Because it hasn't happened yet. So if you are sitting with guilt, your guilt comes from your past. Your guilt is not about today. It's not about tomorrow. Your guilt is from what happened yesterday and the day before. Okay, because something has to have already happened for you to feel guilty about it. Now, this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. I want to tell you something. Before he became the man of God that we read about, he had to walk a long road where God had to teach him to get over his guilt, the shame, the condemnation, the unworthiness that Satan was heaping upon him because of his past. And we know that he did conquer it because Paul was a man of God. Paul ministered to the New Testament church. Paul planted churches all over the New World. Paul was a man that experienced the power of God like very few people before him have had. And if he hadn't conquered these things from his past, he could never have done what he's telling us about now. Many people, even Christians, even people that have been children of God for the last 20, 30, 40 years, suffer from guilt over their past lives and things that they have done. And you must understand something. That fits the plan of Satan for your life perfectly. Because when you feel guilty, you don't want to pray. When you feel guilty, you don't want to go to church. When you feel guilty, you don't want to read your Bible. When you feel guilty, you don't want to talk to somebody else. You don't want to lead them to Christ. You don't want to share testimonies because you've got this thing sitting there. When you feel guilty, you are cranky, you are irritable, you are frustrated. You tend to be negative about life. Guess what? That's Satan's plan for your life. But that's not God's plan for your life. That's not God's plan for your life. Now, people who feel guilty seldom respond to the Holy Spirit as He desires to use us and make use of us to further the purpose of the kingdom of God. And therefore, the devil loves to bring up your past. How many of you here, let's say in the last 10, 15 years, whatever the case might be, has on occasion had this thing come back to you about things that happened in your past, and you got this heaviness come over you. Has it happened to anybody here? Okay. Well, it might not have happened to you, but it happened to your neighbor. This is how the devil works, and this is what God wants us to deal with. So, Psalm 32, verse 5 says the following. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave me all the guilt of my sin. When does God forgive you? Did you hear that? When does God forgive you? When you confess. Listen here, my friend. When you've messed up something and you come and you talk to God about it, in God's eyes, it's finished. But the devil doesn't want it to be finished in your eyes. And he knows every time he reminds you of these things and you take it back, then the guilt can punch you in the stomach once again. And he uses that trick many, many times. If the past was just covered up and never brought before God, then he says, yeah, that it will remain alive within us and it will cause all sorts of problems. Let me teach you something that's very important for everybody to know. The main root of most problems in people's lives is spiritual, not physical. Even when it comes to sickness and infirmity, if you want to understand why sickness is there, why sickness doesn't want to go away, why certain problems seem to happen to you over and over and over again, it is because there is a spiritual root that the enemy manages to use. Has any of you ever done a bit of gardening? I see some elderly people here. Generally, you people like to hang around in the garden. You done some gardening? Okay. Who's got green fingers? Okay. Green fingers. Okay, so you're good at planting things and making sure that they go. Now, what is the one thing that tends to work against a good garden? It's called weeds. Now, if you want to have a nice garden, you want your petunias to be nice and your dandelions to be beautiful and whatever it is you're planting, you have to first deal with the rubbish that can contaminate your patch. It's called weeds. Now, here's the thing with weeds. Weeds kind of like work this way. They have big roots that go down. Very big. You pull out a pretty flower, it's got a pretty pathetic little root. You pull out a weed, it's got this huge big root system. Why? Because weeds know how to survive. And when you take them and you pull them and you didn't loosen the ground, they tend to break off. And for a while, everything looks nice. But you come back a couple of weeks later and it's like, boom, this big thing is back there again. And then you pull it and it breaks again and you think, okay, it's fine. And you come back and it's triple the size. Why? Because weeds are not stupid. They know you're trying to kill them. So now they put the growth into the roots and it becomes more and more difficult to get them out. Therefore, if you cannot pull something out by the roots, it does not die. Things need to be grabbed and pulled out by their roots. Now here's the thing that we have to understand. God doesn't look at your past anymore, but sometimes what happened in the past caused damage inside of you and it caused the roots to grow. It can cause roots of bitterness, roots of anger, roots of fear, roots of disappointment, roots of hurt, etc., etc. And if those things are not pulled out, it's going to contaminate you. It's going to cause all sorts of problems for you. And therefore we have to deal with, when we try and help people with their life, one of the first places we have to look is we have to look and see what has entered your heart. Be it bitterness, be it anger, be it frustration, be it hatred, be it disappointment, whatever the case might be. Those roots need to be pulled out. No, we don't have to go back to the past all the time, but at some point in time we have to deal with the past. Amen? Okay, let's go further. Through the confession, the psalmist says, the guilt will also be taken away and there will be more freedom, because guilt puts you in bondage. Guilt ties you so that you can't go forward. Now, sometimes it's not what you have done in the past, but what others have done to you that's holding you in bondage. Is there anybody here in this place today that in any way has suffered bondage because of what somebody else did to you? In other words, somebody hurt you, somebody disappointed you, somebody treated you in a bad way, somebody spread rumors about you that caused a lot of destruction, and because of that, even today you are suffering. Come. Right. That's the same thing. That is still things from your past blocking you from experiencing the blessing of God today. And it needs to be sorted out. When somebody else does something to you, the main thing that touches you is not necessarily guilt, but rather things like rage, bitterness, coldness, harshness, negativity, despondency, dejection, hopelessness, despair, depression. All of these things can come because of the way we were treated by other people. Satan loves to remind us of our past. Can I tell you why the devil loves to remind us of our past concerning other people? Because when we think back about that, all these emotions well up inside of us again. If somebody humiliated you in front of a group of people, 20 years later, if you haven't dealt with it properly, when you think about it, the same anger, the same rejection, the same humiliation, the same disappointment begins to work inside of you again. And you relive all of these things. And immediately the devil manages to bring you down. And therefore it needs to be dealt with. So even in this area, Paul had many things in his past that if he were to dwell on them for long enough, they would really make him a bitter, twisted, negative individual. I'm going to give you an example. It comes from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 27. Paul says, "Are they servants of Christ? Am I out of my mind to talk like this? I am even more. I have worked much harder. I have been in prison more frequently. I have been flogged more severely. I have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea, and I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers. I have been in danger from bandits. In danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, and in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers." In other words, I was betrayed. "I have labored and toiled, and I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and often gone without food. I have been cold, and I have been naked." Okay. Not one of you can beat this, I promise you. He was flogged. He was beaten. He was abused. He was thrown in prison. He was humiliated. He had to go naked. He had to go cold. He was left for dead 3 times. How much place is there in your heart for bitterness, anger, hatred, revenge, resentment, violence, frustration, temper, anger, and all of these things? Plenty. And I want to ask you a question. Can you be a vessel in Christ's army if you walk around with all of that stuff? No, you can't. So in some way, Paul had to deal with this stuff. Paul knows what it is for your past to come back and haunt you. Because many times, can I tell you what type of a man the Apostle Paul was? He was a true man of God. Because I want to promise you, the same men that flogged him, he ministered the word of God to them. The same men that stoned him and left him for death, he probably led many of them to Christ later on in his life. If all he had in his heart was anger, bitterness, and hatred, the first thing he wanted to do when he saw them was, boop, he wanted to beat them, he wanted to kick them, but that's not who he was. Because there was a call upon his life, and he understood something that sometimes we don't understand. All these things that we've allowed to come into our hearts, when Jesus comes in, we have the opportunity to get it out. And the sooner we get it out, the better. The sooner we deal with the past, we seal the past, we close the past, and we start a new chapter, the better. You can't go reading the old chapters in the book all the time. You'll never find the ending. If you want to find the ending, you have to progress through the book. The Apostle Paul did that. He said, those chapters of my life, I've forgiven the people. I've dealt with the hurt. I've dealt with the anger. I've dealt with the disappointment. I've sealed it. God has healed me. Now I'm moving on. I see you again. It's over. Yesterday you wanted to kill me. Tomorrow I lead you to salvation. That is a true man of God. There is so much in the passage that I just read to you that could cause a man to be bitter or to turn a man away from God. The Apostle Paul says, I forget what is behind. Now, how could the Apostle Paul do this? How could he leave behind all the stuff that we just heard about so easily? You know, I've spoken over the years to many, many Christians. Some people have one thing or two things that happened in the past and they can't even let that go. So how did the Apostle Paul let all this stuff go? He gives us the answer. He says, I strain towards what is ahead. This is how the Apostle Paul could overcome the things of the past, because he made a conscious decision that his focus will not constantly be on the past. He's going to make a choice to deal with it and to move on. And you know what? The Apostle Paul is not special in that regard. If he can do it, you can do it. God expects all of us to come to a place in our life where we say, you know what? Enough is enough. I'm not going to relive the humiliation. I'm not going to relive the rejection. I'm not going to relive the abuse. I'm going to make a choice to trust God today to deal with my heart. I choose to open my heart to receive healing from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to close that chapter. And if the devil wants to, no matter what he does, I will not go back there, because from now on, I'm going forward. I want to ask you a question. Where are your blessings? Well, I want to tell you something. All your blessings are in your future. Your hurt, your pain, your rejection, your humiliation is in your past. But your blessings are in your future. But your blessings can only come through if you deal with things the right way. I want to show you something. I need a volunteer. I need a volunteer that's never been to one of my meetings. What's your name, young man? Oh, I saw that. Kyle? It's like, who's this oak and what does he want to do with me now? Do you have a good sense of humor? Does he have a good sense of humor? Your mother thinks so. She's like, I'm not 100% sure, but let's check. Don't you want to come forward for me quickly, please? Don't worry, I won't mess with you too much. No, man, it's going to be good. It's to teach people something. It's to teach people something. All right. There we go. How's it? How are you doing? I'm good. What did you say? Kyle?
Cole.
Cole. Okay. Cole. All right, Cole. Let's ask the question. I asked him the question just now. Where's the blessings? Where would you say, where's the blessings?
From God.
From God. He's actually, it's getting more and more difficult to hide things from you. You're very clever. Yes, the blessings are from God, but the blessings are somewhere there in the future, aren't they? All right. You don't have a nice car yet, do you? But somewhere in the future, there's one waiting for you, isn't it? Do you have a girlfriend yet? Okay, don't be in a hurry. Let things just happen. Okay. But somewhere in the future, there's probably a beautiful young lady waiting for you. Can you see that his blessings are in the future? Somewhere in the future, you're going to have a nice job. Somewhere in the future, you're going to be a good father. Somewhere in the future, you're going to inspire a lot of people. All his blessings are in his future. Amen? Okay, so Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, Cole, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Where is all of those things? It's in your future. Yes, some of them you live today, but today is only yesterday's future. Everything is in the future. Okay, so, Cole, where are you going to find the blessings?
In the future.
There we go. In the future. Now, let's check something out. Let's say where you are standing now, I like where you're facing. You're facing that side. Where you are standing now, this is your today. That is your past. That is your future. Can we agree on that? Okay, so in other words, if you want to encounter the blessings of God, you have to be heading that way, not that way. Is that fair enough? Okay, what does the devil want him to do? The devil, what's your name, sir? I like your enthusiasm. Every time I ask a question, he's got his hand up and he's telling me, that's the way, we like it, Okay, well, bless God. Okay, so, Kolya wants to be blessed. For Cole to be blessed, Cole has to do the right thing. And every one of us, every day, are confronted with choices. The devil will remind you, no matter how much you've dealt with your past, the devil will remind you of your past. What does he want you to do? He wants you to take it back. He wants you to take it back, and you see, here's the thing. The moment Cole takes it back, that's what's going to happen to his focus. Now I want to ask you a question. Okay, you stand like that, but you look back for me. Try and act like a dove. Have you ever seen a dove? A dove can face forward and look backwards. Okay, yeah. This is his impersonation of a dove. I won't ask you to tweet like one. Okay, it's okay. If he's looking that way, how is he going to go that way? Can I show you what's going to happen? If we're walking, we want to walk forward, right? Look at where his eyes are. His eyes are where he's going. Start looking back for me. Check what happens now. His body wants to go where he's looking. You can't stop it. This is the way God made us. We go where we focus. It's just the way it is. Devil's not stupid. The devil knows it. But now I want to show you a couple of interesting things. Let's say he does manage to somehow look a bit back and go forward. If I was a devil, how do I stop his progress? I'm going to show you. I want you to run for me. Come here. Are you an athlete? Let me first check. Mom, do you have medical aid? Okay, that's all right. Don't worry. Okay. Let's just make like you're an athlete. Okay, you are in Bruce Fordyce mode. You don't even know who Bruce Fordyce is, do you? Okay, I don't even know that. Who's that other oak that made went, Wayne? Wayne Funnicak. You, Wayne Funnicak. You know who he is, don't you? No, he doesn't know who he is. Mom, does this work? Do you know Usain Bolt? Listen, yeah, when all this is finished, I'm going to have a collection because these people have no television and we must help them, I'm telling you. Okay, here's the thing. Let's say that you're an athlete. I'm going to say, on your marks, get set, go, and then you run for me. On your marks, get set, go. There we go. He's actually quite good at it. You should go for the school track team. Okay, now come back quickly. Now, I want you to do the same thing, but try and look back. Let me just protect my investment here. Okay. You're going to now do the exact same thing. You're going to try and get there, but I want you to strain your neck as far back as possible. Don't pull a muscle, because then your mother's going to be upset with me. Okay? All right. Kijk so ver agtertoe as wat jy kan. Look back. Okay, try and do the same thing now. Try and do it again. Actually, he wasn't too bad. I'm telling you. All right, go back there. Go back quick. He's from the south. In the south, we learn we must check everything all the time. You don't know who's coming for you. Imagine I put this thing here. And he's not looking forward. He's looking backwards. What's going to happen if he runs? Let's see. No. He's not going to fall. He can see it. He already knows it's there. Well, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Because this is exactly what the devil does. You see, if you don't look forwards, you will not see the problems coming. If the devil puts an obstacle in your way, you will hit that obstacle. If some demon digs a pit for you, you will fall into it. Why? Because you're trying to go forwards, looking backwards. And the devil will always manage. You did very well. Thank you. Give him a big hand. Thank you. The devil will always look for ways to stop your progress. When your progress gets stopped, you become frustrated. You feel depressed. You feel despondent. You feel like giving up. That's exactly what he wants, isn't it? And many times he uses the past to get you to that place. Instead of dwelling on the hardships, the betrayal, the suffering of the past, the Apostle Paul made a decision to close that chapter and to build on what happened and allow God to work in his life. Paul had something to live for. Paul had something that we call vision. And even when things were not always going the way that he wanted them to go, he did not lose sight of that vision. Let me give you a scripture. The people that have been around me for a while, you've heard the scripture many times, but it's always a good thing to hear it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run therefore in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do so to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not hit like a man beating about in the air." Okay. The Apostle Paul is using the Olympic Games as an analogy to get people to understand a very important spiritual lesson. He says, just like an athlete has to run the race to try and win, to get to the end, to get to the finish line, so all of us have a calling from God to do exactly the same thing. We should be running the race of life to get to the place where God has prepared for us. Very important. Paul often relates the spiritual life to a race, and both here and in Philippians 3, he's relating to that race. And it is clear that Paul is committed to what he is doing, not doing it in any half measures. He says, "I go all in. I give it my all." The differences between an athlete in a real race and the Christian is in the reward. Did you hear what he says? He says an athlete down here gives everything for something that today is here and tomorrow is gone. But a Christian running the race of life, getting to the place where God wants him to be, does it for something that has eternal value. What is the eternal value that we are running the race for? It's called eternal life. And then he talks about crowns. The Bible says that one day when we get to heaven, we will receive crowns. God will give crowns for certain things, certain milestones that we have reached in our life. It is only when you are running the race that God wants you to run, and you are on the way God wants you to go, that you will begin to achieve those milestones. Now let's talk about that just very quickly. Have you ever noticed that when you drive behind somebody and they put their indicator on, What do we have to do before we change lanes? I know it doesn't happen in South Africa, but what are we supposed to do before we change lanes? Okay, you put your indicator on. You look in the mirror. You look in the mirror. But you can't just trust your mirrors, because there's something called the blind spot. And because there's something called the blind spot that causes big accidents all the time, you also actually have to check whether there's cars. And then you come. And I constantly encounter people on the road that don't know about that. They just click, click, and then you check me like hoying anchors there, you know? Okay. What happens when the people look? Okay, here's the thing. I told you the way God made us, where your eyes look, your body wants to go. That's the way it is. So even when you're driving your car, if you look forward, you drive forward. If you look to the side, you go to the side. If you look to that side, you go to that side. Therefore, you must quickly look. Okay, just so that you don't get into an accident tomorrow and blame it on the pastor, you must quickly glance and then you look forward again. But sometimes we get these people, it's like, and I don't mean to offend anybody. Let me just not even go there. I'm just going to just... You get these people, they like have this 10-minute survey of the area before they, and then they're like over 3 lanes on the highway, and you just check people braking everywhere. What's the problem? Their focus shifted. Their focus shifted, and therefore they went in the wrong direction. Now, here's the thing. Cole showed us just now that when you run the race, it's best to look forward for many different reasons, because you can see the problems coming. You keep your eyes focused. The Apostle Paul says, I run like a man not running aimlessly. He says, I aim for where I want to go. Now, when the devil taps you on the shoulder and he says, psst, do you remember what Mrs. Pochenpool did to you? What immediately happens to your focus? You look back, because you're going into the past. You look back. Now, just like that person driving in the car, putting on the indicator, looking to the side, and then the car goes there, the same thing happens to us. There's a road that God wants you to walk. And if you stay on that road, if you stay on the road of God's call, and if you stay on the road of God's blessing, you will have the blessing. But when you go off the road, you're going to encounter problems. So the moment you take your eyes off the goal and you look back, you start going off the track. What's the problem with going off the track? Now you're no longer where God wants you to be. Now you're entering into very dangerous territory. You know, when you're in the bushveld, I'm talking the proper African bushveld, there's a lot of funny gogololies that run around on the floor. We have things like snakes, we have serpents, we have scorpions, we have huge big spiders, we've got all sorts of weird stuff out there. Besides that, there's these things called kameeldorings. Have you ever seen a kameeldoring? There's no English word for it, but if you step in it, you'll know all about it. Your life stops right there. It's those long, big thorns. If I'm running the race of life, welcome. Welcome. I see you brought your fire outfit. Are you expecting some flames later? I like that. That's good. That's good. If I'm running the race of life, and I'm trying to get to that place where God wants me to be, but every time the enemy taps me on the shoulder talking about the past, I look, every time I'm going to go off track. When you go off track, you encounter the serpents and the scorpions. What are serpents and scorpions in the Bible? It is a depiction of demonic activity. The more you go off the beaten or off the track where God wants you to be, the more demonic affliction and attack will come against your life. Now, let's look at a couple of reasons why some people battle to run the race of life and get to the goal. Again, I'm using the same analogy as the Apostle Paul, from the point of view that we are running a race as athletes and we need to prepare properly. The first reason why some athletes don't run the race properly is because of lack of commitment. You know, as a Christian, God expects commitment and dedication from you. Here's the problem that we faced with today. We go to church when we feel like it. We pray when we feel like it. Why must I pray every day? You know, I read my Bible twice a year because, you know, Christmas and Easter, that's good enough for me. Is that commitment? I want to ask you a question. We most of us know whom Usain Bolt is, right? If Usain Bolt trained twice a year, would he make the Olympic team? He wouldn't make the Olympic team. He wouldn't make the national team. He wouldn't make the provincial team. He wouldn't even make the little dorpie that he lives in team. Because it takes commitment, it takes perseverance, it takes training, it takes hard work for any athlete to get to that side. Why would you think that the Christian life is any different? It takes commitment, it takes hard work, it takes dedication. James 2 verse 20 says, faith without works is dead. Your works don't save you, but your works will truly bless you and keep you on the right track. Certain things we have to do. We have to attend a good spiritual church because your soul needs to be fed. Your spirit needs to be fed. We need to spend time in the Word of God because the Word of God is going to change us and transform us and show us what God's will is for our life. We have to have spiritual discipline. The second thing is poor conditioning. An athlete that hasn't been conditioned or hasn't conditioned his body properly is bound to pick up problems somewhere. My sons like to play rugby. The thing with rugby is you can take somebody that is fit for running, give them a rugby ball and they get tackled once and they carry them off on a stretcher. Because your body also needs to be conditioned for taking the knocks. Do you understand? So there's some conditioning involved. Therefore, you have to attend the training sessions and you have to play with the guys so that your body gets hard and so that your body learns to absorb the knocks. If you take somebody that has never played rugby and you give him a ball and you say to him, okay, there we go, we're going to play a game today, you're kind of like signing not necessarily his death warrant, but he's going to end up in hospital pretty soon. He's not been conditioned. We also need to be conditioned in the church. We get conditioned when we take hard knocks, we get back up. Instead of turning our back on God and saying, oh, but you know what, I didn't sign up for this and blah, blah, blah. No, I get back up. I get stuck into the Word. I go back to church. I persevere in prayer. That conditions me and that makes me stronger. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 44 says, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Did you know that? Albert, just stand for me quickly, please. Just face the people quickly. This is Albert, also known as Alberto. Hi, everybody. This is Albert's physical body. I can touch it. I can rub his head. I can see him. I can talk to him. And he will respond to me. But there's another part of him that I can't see, but God and the devil both see very clearly. It's called his spiritual body. Somewhere inside of his natural body is his spirit. Now, can an athlete that has never been trained run the Comrades? No. Can a spirit that has never been conditioned finish the race? No. It's just as important that he work and train with his spirit than what an athlete would work and train with their body. And remember I said to you, a lot of people, the problems that they have are spiritual. That's why things never change for them. If his spirit is weak, and if his spirit is damaged, it's going to manifest in his life some way. It could manifest through sickness. It could manifest through problems. It could manifest through weakness in certain areas. It could manifest through a lot of bad things happening. Tiredness. I have no energy. I can't get out of bed. It could manifest through depression. It could be an indication of a weak spirit. So in other words, we have to train our spirit. How do we train our spirit? Thank you, Albert. How do we train our spirit? Uncle Ed, give me one. We spend time in the Word of God. To sort out our past. To actually do something to cleanse us of the hatred, the anger, the bitterness, wada, all of that stuff that came because it's a poison and the poison affects my spirit, but my spirit affects my body. If my spirit is sick, my body will be sick. If my spirit is weak, my body will be weak. The two are linked and they always will be. Okay? We have to work hard. Your spirit will not be conditioned by worldly things, but only by what impacts it in the spirit. In other words, prayer, fellowship with other believers, studying the Word, being taught the Word. Because of poor conditioning, many people do not experience what God has planned for them. And then, of course, there are injuries. We could link this up with not looking back. But if there are hurts from the past that are never dealt with, healing cannot necessarily take place in that person's life and it will hamper you. We have to deal with the things that happened in the past. We can also say that an athlete that doesn't manage to get to the end of the race has got the wrong gear. Let's think of Usain Bolt. Usain Bolt runs with something called spikes. All right, it's shoes that are very, very light and they've got these little, it looks like nails that come out. It's to give him traction because he's got a lot of power. If he doesn't have enough traction, he's going to be like a car that wheel spins. It's going to stand still and it's not going to go. So they use the right gear. Okay? What if we take his spikes and we give him... Yeah, that's actually good. What if we take away his spikes and we give him some slip-slops? Plockies. Plockies, hang tens. Those of you that come from my era, you know what I'm talking about. Some hang tens. We give him some hang tens and we tell him to run the 100 meters. How's he going to do? He's not going to do very well. Or what? What if we give him some World War II army boots? I don't think he's going to go very far. Yeah, he's still going to run, but you're going to hear twar, 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 twar. So, in other words, we need the right equipment. In a spiritual sense, the wrong gear could be lack of knowledge, not knowing God's word, not knowing God's principles, the keys to unlocking certain blessings. I said something funny. Well, I'm very glad that it entertained you. May God bless you. Another reason why some athletes don't end the race well is because they are unwilling to sacrifice. Let's take Usain Bolt. He's the world's fastest man, has been for the last something like 8 or 12 years or something. It's ridiculous. He's very fast. How does he stay there? He makes sacrifices. Listen, yeah, no athlete, whether you're a Springbok soccer player, a Springbok rugby player, a Springbok cricketer, whether you are a world-renowned athlete like Usain Bolt, if you're an athlete of that caliber, there are certain things you don't eat. There are certain things you don't do. And there are certain things that you do do. And you sacrifice things all the time. Somebody that wants to make something of themselves has the discipline to say, that is not for me, that is not for me, that is not for me. It will affect my performance. Is there certain things similar to that that affect every Christian's life? I want you to listen to me very carefully. If you are not willing to sacrifice certain things, you will never get to the end of the road. Because there's a lot of worldly things that will get you to stop running the race. Let's talk about wrong friends. What do wrong friends do? Well, wrong friends are already in the pit. Refusing to let them go and run the race God wants you to run means they're going to pull you down into the same pit. And in the end, the two of you, or the three of you, or the four of you are all going to just be happy in the pit but never achieve much and never amount to anything. There are certain things we have to sacrifice. There are certain places we can't go anymore. I'm not going to ask you to raise the hands who likes to go to the strip clubs, because you might be offended. Your wife might get a panic attack when she sees your hand go up. So I'm just not even going to ask that. But I want to tell you something. Now that you're a Christian, you can't do that anymore. Why? Because it's going to make your spirit sick. It's going to pull you down. Okay? You know that circle in the morning where everybody goes and has a puff and drinks their coffee and all they do is gossip and talk bad about everybody, and you used to be in the middle of the circle. Now you have to be out of the circle. You can't be there. You know why? Because it's going to suck you down into the pit. You have to make a sacrifice. There are certain things we can't do anymore. There are certain places we can't go anymore. When you become a child of God, God expects what is called repentance. The word repentance means change. Do you know why a lot of people never get to the end of the race? Because they would not change, they would not sacrifice. If you truly want to experience the power of God, you must be willing to sacrifice. Some things you must leave behind, and you must allow new things to come. And then there's our old friend fear. Sometimes certain athletes are intimidated by other athletes. Okay, I haven't followed golf for a very long time, but I used to play a lot of golf, me and Uncle Ed. And I used to watch golf. And I remember there was a time when Tiger Woods entered any competition, everybody else was falling apart because Tiger Woods is there. He had such an intimidating presence that even the guys that used to play in his four ball or two ball or whatever, they could not play the same game they would play without him, because he was such a big figure and he intimidated people. He got into their heads. The devil will do the same thing with you. Many times the enemy uses fear to put us down. Christians should be aware of fear. because it will try and stop us. It will say to you, you're not good enough. Because of this and that and what. God doesn't care about you. God's not going to help you. Fear comes and touches us. We must put fear under our feet. I want to end off by showing you a great man of God that almost missed it. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back. And he separated himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. Now, what is happening here is Peter and Paul had a fallout. Peter went to Antioch and he preached the word of God. Peter was the first apostle called to work with the Gentiles. Gentiles was unbelievers, not Jews of the day. And because it was his calling, initially he was happy to mix with them. But then at a later stage, other Jews came over and joined him, and suddenly he became all funny. He no longer wanted to hang around with the Gentiles. He, in fact, started siding more and more with the Jews and going back to their way of doing things, even though Jesus died to liberate him from all of that rubbish. So, when Peter first arrived at Antioch, he treated everybody the same. But when some of his fellow Jews arrived, he began to give way to peer pressure, and he adopted their views and followed their customs. What was it that caused him to do that? It was fear. He was intimidated by the Jews that came, and instead of standing up to them and saying, listen, yeah, Jesus set me free, I will not go back there, he was like slowly but surely being pulled back into his old life. The moment he took his eyes off his goal, he began to sink back to his past. And it doesn't stop there, however. His lack of vision began to affect many other people around him, so that they too began to treat the Gentiles difficult. What happened to him? Satan took his eyes off his future and focused it on his past, and he sank. And if it wasn't for Paul that put him in his place, we might never have heard from him again. But when Paul spoke to him, things came right. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, the fear of man will prove to be a snare unto you, but whoever trusts in the Lord will stay safe. Today I spoke to you about the past. Let's just talk about that quick before we end up. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Then I want you to today make a decision to close the chapters of your past. Whether it be the things that you've done or the things that people have done to you or just a past life that you had. The Apostle Peter fell back because he, in a sense, didn't release his old life and embrace the new life that God had planned for him. Sometimes God brings change. And when change comes, you have to let go of the past and embrace the new. Because your blessings are in your future. The easiest way for the devil to sometimes stop us from being effective is to bring up our past. Or to try and get us to go back to the things of the past. No, we don't have to do that. We can close that chapter. If you've got hurt, if you've got pain, if you've got trauma, if you've got all sorts of things, rejection or whatever that comes from the past, Jesus will help you. He can pull that stuff out of you. Don't let the devil use that against you, because he will. Make a decision to say, today, I close that door. Today, I choose to look forward, not backwards. And from now on, when the devil comes and reminds you of your past, you put your foot down, you say, shut up and footsack and go to the pit of hell. I'm not interested. I'm going forward. I have a vision. This is where I want to be. I want to be the man or the woman that God called me to be. And you can't be both. You're either the man or the woman. Okay. Praise God. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please.